compliance with the open public meetings law, I wish to state that on January 22nd, the notice of this workshop meeting for the budget, the Upper Township Committee, was posted on the official township bulletin board, mailed to the Cape May County Gazette, the Atlantic City Press, the Ocean City Sentinel, Ledger, the Herald Times, and filed with the township clerk. Tonight's meeting is being video recorded up until the closed session portion of this meeting and will be available on UTTV Channel 97 on the Upper Township website. We hereby direct this announcement made a part of the minutes of this meeting. We'll forego the Pledge of Allegiance, and we'll do that at the regular scheduled meeting at 7:30. So would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Barr?
Here.
Mr. Coggins?
Here.
Mr. Pearson?
Here.
Mr. Young?
Here.
Mayor Palumbo?
Here.
All members are present.
So this is a township workshop budget meeting, and I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Coggins, who is in charge of our revenue and finance, and we'll let him proceed with the meeting.
All right, gentlemen, what I intend to do tonight is to talk on a high level about the budget, not get into a lot of detail. I also want to explain what that budget would mean to us in terms of the effect on the taxpayers. I want to throw out some ideas as to things that we are able to do as a committee where the budget's concerned, and I want to qualify that by saying any of these things that I'm putting out there are strictly ideas. They're not suggestions. They're not necessarily something that I want to see happen, but they are options that we have for adjusting and or approving this budget. The proposed budget that I received from the CFO, the portion of that budget that consists of salaries and wages and operating expenses, rolls up to about $11,767,000, which is an increase of approximately $498,000 over our spending for last year. If we would approve this budget at this face value, that would represent an increase in the tax rate of 2 cents. Now, the average home in Upper Township is assessed at approximately $266,000. So that 2% on the, I'm sorry, that 2 cents on the tax rate would equate about $53 for every homeowner based on the average assessment. So if your home was assessed at less than $266,000, your increase may be less than $53. And if your assessment is over $266,000, it could be more than 53, but that would be the average number that we'd be looking at. Okay, now, in addition to this, our various departments are also requesting capital. And the capital requests that we have amount to nearly $3 million. It's $2,927,000. Now, on the tax rate, if we were to absorb that as strictly a tax levy, that would represent about another 16 and a half cents a home for a total of about 18 and a half cents a home. Now, with that being said, there are other ways to deal with this capital, which we'll kind of get into. All right, breaking out the budget, salaries and wages account for about $4.3 million. Other expenses are approximately $5.2 million. Deferred charges, $625,000. Our statutory expenditures, $786,000. The capital debt service is $815,000. And, of course, the capital improvements that have been requested by our department heads come up to $2,927,000. All right. The some of the ways to, some of the options that we have available to us is looking at the operating budget as a committee. We can look at that and we can say, okay, it's a 2 cent tax increase, and we have the option of approving it at face value. Now, one of the things that we may want to look at, or some of the things that we may want to look at that number, are have we included everything in that budget that we think we're going to spend? And I'm going to throw one example out there. You know, in the year 2015, we had a number of festivals within the township. Those festivals generated a tremendous amount of interest, were a great asset to the township. This budget does not reflect anything additional put in to support those festivals going forward.
It does have the July 4th fireworks.
It does have the July 4th fireworks, but you know, in terms of some of the other fall festival, the Easter festival things that we did, there's nothing in the budget for there. So if these are things that we want to do, what we need to do is we need to budget in that line item. Now, we can get to that budget in that line item a couple of ways. We can just tack it onto what we have, or we can perhaps take from other line items within the recreation budget and say, okay, well, we're not going to do this, this, and this, and we're going to tack it on the festivals. Or, you know, we can find other ways to fund that. Now, going by departments, one of the things I noticed, and I'm going to give you one example of it, because it readily sticks out, because we're going to find on tonight's bill list that will be voted on to be approved, was a one-time expense for Public Works in the amount of approximately $14,000 for the replacement of an automated arm on one of the Public Works trash collection vehicles. So when I would look at a budget, typically, what I would suggest would be, that's an example of one-time expense. Perhaps we could get through all of our departments, department by department, and line by line or month by month, and begin to pull out some of these one-time expenses. Because if we can pull out $328,000 from our operating expenses, that can get us to a tax-neutral budget.
Now,
I'm sorry. 358, I stand corrected. I said 328. Thank you. So that's kind of where we need to be. So some of these expenses, did everybody get this back at work?
Yes.
Okay. If we kind of get through here, this is a budget comparison worksheet. And what this will show you, if you look in the second column from the left.
This would be, I gave everyone a paperclip group of papers. If you pull out the accordion paper, that's what John is talking about right now.
All right, first two columns are departments and description. The first column with the numbers is the appropriation. The third column is the dollar change. You can kind of see where some of the changes are to the, what I'm going to say the negative, but they are the numbers that aren't in parentheses. They're the numbers that are actually going up. So these are maybe places that we need to look at as perhaps the first opportunities for reducing some of these line items. The thing that I would challenge our department heads with would be to look at your individual department budgets, determine what 1% of that budget is, what is that number for your department, and then subtract your salaries and wages from your department's budget. And then go back to that 1% number and take that out of your expense lines. So in other words, if you had to make it very simplistic, if you had a department budget for $100,000, if salaries and wages made up 50% of your department's expense. 2% of your overall, I'm sorry, 1% of your overall department's expense would be $1,000. So I would challenge you to take that other $50,000, which makes up your individual expense line items, which would be things like fuel, for example. You know, cut those other items by $1,000, and then that'll get you to the 2% reduction that can kind of get us to a point where this budget is going to be a little bit more manageable and tax neutral. I haven't taken the opportunity at this point to go through all of the individual department line items. But, you know, one of the things that kind of has me thinking is if we look at the price of fuel, at what the price of fuel has done this year, at what the projections are for, you know, diesel fuel, gasoline, have we taken that into account in our budget when we went through the individual line items? You know, what did we use for the basis of our fuel budget? Did we look at gallons used, or did we look at dollars spent in 2015 and then add 2% to it? So these are the kind of things where, you know, some of these line items can be reduced fairly significantly if we kind of look at things in terms of, well, what's really happening with that line item? So if the average price of fuel for 2015 was $3, you know, it was up near $4 at the beginning of the year, first quarter of the year. And it ended up being, you know, close to $2 by the end of the year. And we used 1,000 gallons of fuel, then the average that we spent over the year might have been about $3,000. So based on that, looking at where the average price of fuel is now in the first quarter of this year, take that same 1,000 gallons that we've consumed, multiply it out by the current fuel costs, and then see what that does to the budget. That's one of the ways that we can look at reducing line items like that. Now, maybe that's something that we've done, but you know, as I said, I'm not trying to suggest what you do or advocating that that's where we're going to find the money, but these are places where I would automatically look if I were going through a preparing a budget. Moving forward from here, what I like to do, and I prepared this for everybody in the committee, you'll see a single sheet with an explanation or a brief explanation cost of what the capital request items are. You know, Public Works is looking for a rear load trash truck budgeted for $215,000. A 72-inch mower, which I believe is a replacement, at $23,000. A skid steer at $72,000. A new service truck at $40,000. A Kubota RTV, which I guess is some kind of a turf vehicle. A grapple truck. A replacement body for an existing truck in the fleet for $21,000. An additional leaf vac, an additional pickup truck, which is, I believe, also replacement capital for pickup truck number 18, something like that, or that wasn't number 18, 64. Okay.
Is the truck body a dump?
Yeah. And the ATV, is that the same one that we're looking for the lifeguards and for the rescue squad?
No, that's a vehicle different line. If we can help maintain out of Amanda's field, it'll have a small dump body on it so that, you know, we can get out onto the field without taking a larger pickup truck or a mini dump out there to maintain those fields and have them run it up with a heavier piece of heavier truck.
Okay. Portable air compressor. Another mowing tractor. I believe this one was, that's not the 72-incher, but there's a second mowing tractor in there.
Well, the mowing tractor is for roadsides and swales.
Okay.
The other tractor, the other was a mower to, you know, we're currently using two mowers to mow the athletic fields. The larger mower that we essentially use at Amanda's Field and here in Petersburg, and then the other mower is trailered around to Caldwell Park and to the other fields. And that mowers, you know, at its end of its useful life, and so that's the replacement for that one.
Okay. There's a Kubota backhoe in there. There's some improvements to the Public Works building. Now, the improvements to the Public Works building, are they in addition to the money that was approved for the garage doors and for the steel support structures?
Yes.
Is this the office area we were talking about?
The office area plus didn't change all the doors.
So we, how many doors did we change? Are we changing?
Six of them right now.
How many?
Six.
There's a spare side-loading trash truck. There is a cyber lock system, which also I thought came up in the, I want to say the EMS budget, but I'm not sure which one that popped up in.
Now, there was also in a computer budget, you saw a line item for the swipes that we use.
Okay, different.
Now, you know, the cyber lock system was essentially, we have so many keys to open up the various gates, doors, and everything. The cyber lock essentially makes it so you can, you know, you change out the lock mechanism in all the doors, so there are, you know, it essentially has an RFID reader in it, and then the keys have an RFID identification to which doors they can open up. So essentially, we take a key ring that might have 20 to 30 keys on them, and then essentially replace the keys with one key.
Okay.
And then it also gives us better control over, you know, which outside organizations have access to that. You know, right now, most of your master locks or different locks that you can go, if we give it out to one person at the organization, they can go down to Advantage or Home Depot and copy the keys, and then, you know, you don't know who has access to what. This would give us better access control and knowledge. It would also be compatible that if we went to that system, they can also open the doors here at Township Hall, the Rescue Squad, all those electronic doors. So you could put it on one master system to do all the interior doors at all our buildings and facilities.
Like your swipes, like the swipe system right now, are you able to tell who gained entry to the to that particular
yes.
door
yes.
with this system?
And that would give us the same ability to whether it's a gate,
gates in
a restroom,
good.
You know, concession stand, any facility or gate or lock that we would have.
Okay. And then there's also $2,000 in there for small hand tools. For the rescue squad, you know, one of the things that I see that they have in there is the beach rescue vehicle, which was something that was badly needed and considered last year, but we did not come up with the capital for that. So we're looking at possibly doing something with that again.
Hold on a second. So I see Mr. Hanley's here as well. In the beach patrol, what's RBT X900? Is that a Kubota? What is that? Oh, so you're putting in for an RTV, and they're putting in for an RTV as well? The rest of the EMS?
Maybe we should get the rescue one and give him the older one for his use. Think about it. Save some money.
You were two brand new to this year. I'm running on the beach running away at the same time.
Well, that's kind of the other thing that I was leading into. You know, the looking at this capital, the way to purchase this is to, you know, saying that we're going to bless it and approve everything that's on here, we'd be looking at another, going out for another bond, and, you know, bonding another $3 million. With that being said, I think it would behoove us to look at a schedule of equipment that the township actually has and owns. Take that schedule of equipment out for the next 5 years, and instead of just looking at this on its own merits and assuming everything is justifiable on here, you know, we don't know what's coming up next year or the following year, and is there a way that we could possibly stagger this capital in such a way so we're not bonding $3 million every year, because, you know, at this point, anything that we're purchasing for capital going forward is, for the most part, going to need to be bonded.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right.
So it's, great. That's...
Yeah, I thought we'd included that with the sheet. We did have that sheet, and for some reason it just didn't make
it. You know what, Paul? It may be in here.
It's not. I just looked through the sheets.
Because I didn't, you know, at this point, I didn't get down into a lot of real line-by-line detail. I was really just trying to kind of get to an overview and, you know, review with the committee as to where we are now and where we want to go. And really some input from you guys. I mean, you know, are we comfortable with a 2-cent tax increase? You know, do we think that we can... Do we think that we can make that a 1-cent tax increase? Do you think we can do this, you know, where we're tax neutral? Frankly, I have my doubts personally that we can get to the point where we're tax neutral, but, you know, do we need to be there for the 2-cent increase?
Well, I think just like any budget, John, we've got to do our due diligence to look through the entire budget. And like you said, I mean, a budget is a statement of values for the township.
Right.
And we try to figure out what our operational costs are, what equipment we need, and then prioritize things from there. And you know, like you said, Toby, you've done a great job with all these festivals. Maybe it's time that we're going to have to buck up some money for these festivals to support it, because we know that it is valued by the citizens of the township. And we may have to cut some of it.
We have money in the account.
Right. We have to come up with two ways of attacking it, that through allocation to a budget and through revenue. I mean, how do we make money somewhere to be able to support it? And that's how we have to look at that. But no, we do have to do diligence and look at the budget and figure out what we're going to have to do here as far as costs. Just to say right now, why don't we say, hey, let's take a hit of 2%. Let's look at it.
Yeah, no, I think there's definitely some opportunity for a pickup here.
And the discussions that I've had with Chris and Roy and Paul, they have done an analysis on the vehicles.
Okay.
You know, projections as far as how long the vehicle's going to last, when we're going to have to replace it. And like you said, you just can't keep coming back to the well every year saying, you know, need another $3 million bond. And looking at this budget right here, the equipment's great, but the other thing too is we're looking at our roads. You know, what are we going to have to do with the roads? You know, we've been pretty lax over the last couple of years in resurfacing some of these roads that we have to take care of.
Yeah, and more than half of the capital requests in here is for road repair.
Yeah,
you know, you've got $1,600,000 for road resurfacing and repair, which, you know, we've got some. We definitely have some issues there where that's concerned.
And at the same time, John, we've been talking about prevention programs too. So I mean, we have to get some equipment to try to prevent some of these road repairs that we're going to have somewhere down the road. So, did you put anything in there at all, Chris? For the any equipment for taking care of some of the road issues we have?
We did not put that. We were balancing trying between that. I mean, the high end of the crack sealer was around $22,000, I think it was.
Yeah. $22,000 for the crack sealer. And you can also rent it, so we're not looking to make it possible to rent it this year, see how that works.
Okay.
Paul, as far as the road repair, is there any opportunity with that for some of that to be funded with any type of grant money?
Well, we apply every year to the Transportation Trust Fund. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen in the newspaper that as of, I think, June of this year, the Transportation Trust Fund is broke again.
Yeah.
So unless the state legislature and the governor come up with additional funding for that, right, you know, there's not a lot of it. Typically, we get about $150,000 to $175,000 per, I'll say, for a project. Typically, we get one like maybe every other year,
okay,
to every year at the most. But usually, if we get one back to back, we'll skip a year or two before we get another one. But that's how we reconstruct the Bayview Drive. And I try to use those funds, the transportation trust funds, for roads that need major renovation, drainage work, curb, you know, a lot of repairs to it. The road paving project is for, you know, most of the roads that are coming up for need reconstruction now were built during the 80s. So that they've been engineered and they're, you know, they have good line and grade, so I don't have drainage problems on them. Mm-hmm. Just the surface, you know, has a 20-year lifespan on it. So if you think about all the streets that were built in this, you know, late 70s into the 80s, that's probably when 70% of the streets in the township were constructed. They're now over 30 years old, and they, you know, they all need to get replaced at this period of time. So, you know, I can get a lot more dollar miles, you know, the dollar goes a long way in replacing them, and that's where I try to break up between grants and that. Mm-hmm. And that paving project is similar to the one that we did back in 2013-14. It's about a little over 6 miles of roadway.
As far as bonding, Barbara and I were talking about this earlier. If we were to request a bond ordinance and approve a bond ordinance, we would have to start that at the next meeting, February 8th meeting?
If there's an urgency for some of the equipment, in order to have enough time to have equipment for, say, summertime, we would have to introduce at least the first meeting in February, if not the last meeting in February, to have it adopted by the end of May. Then you have a 20-day estoppel period you have to get through. We probably wouldn't be able to spend on a bond ordinance until mid to end of April. And then if equipment needs to be ordered, you know, it may take a few months to get equipment ordered. So if we're talking about a bond ordinance to purchase some of this equipment, it needs to be done fairly quickly if we're looking at equipment for this year, at least for this summer anyway.
Most of the equipment would probably be readily available, except some of the, you know, the larger pieces of equipment that are custom built that usually take 90 to at least 120 days to be delivered. After that, it's after you go through the bid process.
Right.
So for the larger capital items, you probably wouldn't see them in service until late fall, most likely. But some of the smaller things like the skid steers, the mowers, you know, those are pretty, you know, some of those are in stock or more readily available, and we'd be able to put them in the service more readily.
Okay. Hey, Chris, with the mowers and stuff now, it's 72-inch, and then we have the mowing tractor. 72-inch, that's a replacement for the one we keep in the garage out there all the time? A necessity for this year?
Mower is over 10 years old.
Okay. I'm just trying to break this down a little bit.
I called up and tried to get the exact of that, and they no longer make it with the gas motor. I've been able to with the gas motor for 10 years.
What, a diesel?
Yeah, it's not all diesel.
All right. Again, I'm just trying to look to see if we can shift things to do a few this year and a few next year to help with it. Right. And then the other thing we looked at with the RTV or a small bucket machine, the smaller Kubota, which is about the same price without the backhoe. You know, with turf tires, again, it would do us a lot. Working on the fields, you get 3-point hitch on the back of it, and we can, you know, use it for multiple things, which manpower-wise might be better because one person can do it, it's going to take two or three to do it. So I'm just looking maybe the bucket machine this year and maybe go for the RTV for next year, you know?
Well, just keep in mind, too, the bond ordinance, once
the rates are going to go up after very shortly, so.
But once it's authorized, you have you have time to spend. Mm-hmm. You don't have to spend immediately on it.
Yeah.
What's the time period you have?
You really have, I mean, until
you cancel,
until you cancel, you really have, you know, as long as you'd like. Typically, we don't go out for permanent financing, we go out for temporary financing. So we've gotten fairly good rates. It's all been under 1% that we pay. It's temporary financing. We borrow money for a year and pay interest on that money. Through the budget process, we pay down, you know, make payments down on that bond or that band each year, so we don't have, you know, a lot of money hanging out there.
Or if we bonded this, what does that do versus the tax increase?
Won't have any effect on the district.
It has no effect on the current year. If you would bond for this money, let's say this year in 2016, you would pay interest only in 2017, and then in future years you would have the payment to pay down the bond ordinance. You have a total of 10 years to pay that down from when you first authorized that debt.
I know everything on this list is pretty much a necessity. Chris and I talked, but I talked to Mike and Dwayne and everybody else. And again, I'm looking at the fact that we're not going to replace employees as we, you know, they leave, then we're going to have to have better equipment to get the same amount of work done. That's for sure. I'd rather pay equipment than pensions and all benefits.
When we started the bond that we've been working on over probably the past 3 years now, maybe a little longer. So at this point, have we paid interest and we have begun to work down the principal?
Just this year, 2016, will be the first year that we make a payment on that 2013.
And I think this is important for all of us to know. What is the payment this year for that, $5 million bond?
It was 3.7 million, I believe. We're paying $220,000 down on that bond ordinance this year, the 2013 bond ordinance. That's our first pay down of it. We have 2015 was the in our 2015 budget was the last year that we saw a payment for. We paid off our 2008 beach replenishment obligation.
So we have one bond existing at this point?
We have another beach replenishment bond, the 2011 beach replenishment bond, that we're making a $420,000 payment on that this year in the 2016 budget. And then 2017 budget, we hope to make an additional $420,000 payment on that, and that will be paid. So then we'll have the...
Let me just ask you something. Is the $420,000 payment required, or is, I mean, because it sounds to me, I mean, John's looking for $300,000. If we can do that over 4 years, there's $200,000 right there.
Well, what we did, we have it. It's already through bond counsel. We already have that. Leon and I spoke earlier, and determined that would be our payment schedule. And how we did that was prior year, last year we made $640,000 in capital in debt service payments. So we felt that we could continue to make that amount of capital of debt service payments through the coming years to knock down our capital, to knock down our debt service. So we've been making about $640,000 in debt service payments consistently throughout the last few years. So that's kind of our focus, that we continue to make about that amount. We don't want to see it go up where we have to increase our debt service payments. We want to keep those debt service payments at a steady level.
So Let me maybe ask this in a different way. 2015, we paid $440,000 on the beach replenishment fund.
We actually paid $540,000 on the 2008 beach replenishment.
Okay.
To pay that.
So that's paid off?
That's correct.
Okay.
So we don't see that in this year. That's why we concentrated more on the 2011 beach replenishment.
So the 2011 bond, we're going to pay $420,000 on,
mm-hmm.
plus the $220,000 on the $3.7 million bond.
Correct.
Which is going to take us up to about $640,000.
Correct.
Okay.
That's our $640,000 payment.
If we were to bond another $3 million, we wouldn't pay anything on that this year.
Correct.
Next year we would begin to pay interest.
Correct.
The following year we would need to begin to pay back the principal.
Correct.
Okay. Now with that following year, which would be fiscal year 2018, would the second
beach
replenishment bond, the 2011 bond, be paid off?
Correct.
So at that point, what we would look to do would be to elevate the 2013 bond.
Correct.
Up to about the $400,000 level. And then at that point, we tack on $220,000 to this.
Correct.
Okay, so that being said, that kind of takes us out for the next couple of years. So we might want to kind of keep in mind here, and again, back to the capital schedule for the next 5 or 6 years, if we were to take on an additional bond next year, then we could anticipate in 2019 or 2020, actually, we could be paying back considerably more than the 640.
Not necessarily. I mean, it's hard to say
without
you know, if there's an emergency note that would have to be taken or something like that. But keep in mind that when you authorize that debt, we're paying interest only on what we're borrowing. We're not, if you authorize $3 million in debt and we don't borrow $3 million, we're not paying interest on that $3
million. Correct.
We're only paying interest on what we're borrowing. And then you have 10 years to pay off the principal. So you don't have, we wouldn't have to, you know, it depends on the situation, but you don't necessarily have to make, we wouldn't have to make a $600,000 debt service payment with each budget if we didn't need to. But in speaking with Leon as we plan, it seems to be that seems, you know.
That's our sweet spot.
Right,
yeah.
That's what we seem to be able to be able to manage,
mm-hmm.
over the years.
So I guess maybe my concern more than anything is when we push this out, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road, is that 640, is the demand for payments going to exceed that 640? Because this bond for 3.7, how much of that have we spent? I'm going to say probably close to 3.5.
Yes, I think we have about $319,000 left to spend on that bond. So we've spent most of it. Now, we've only borrowed I don't have my band file in front of me, but I believe we've only borrowed $2.25 million on that. Because of our cash flow, we've been able
to absorb some of it.
Correct. I did not borrow any new money off of that bond this year. Last year, the first year, actually 2014, we borrowed $2 million of new money on that 2013 authorization. In 2015, I only borrowed $225,000 of money. This year I have not authorized any additional money on that bond ordinance, although we've spent just about all of that that is authorized.
So it sounds like it would make sense because of the absolute low percentage rate on that existing bond to use that up first. If we're considering bonding something, it makes prudent sense to use where we have existing money that have lower, potentially lower interest rate than what we have now. Where, I mean, we don't know what it's going to be because the Feds are increasing the interest rates.
Mm-hmm. Typically, our temporary financing, which is what we've done, is a lower rate than your permanent financing. Like I said, we've been able to get it below 1% for the past quite a few years.
So help me understand. We've taken $2.25 million against a $3.7 million bond. The rest of the money that we had authorized spending on up to $3.7 million, we financed in more creative ways. So essentially, that's going away. So we are looking at approximately another $1.25 million, give or take, mm-hmm. that we could borrow against that bond, or would we have to reauthorize additional spending
that
in that ordinance?
Bond, we have spent most that was authorized on that bond.
Right.
So
we couldn't.
We cannot.
So we can't borrow anything else on that bond, even though we've only used 2.25.
That's okay. Correct. We're looking at a new bond ordinance.
Right.
We're looking at a new bond ordinance. We cannot use.
We can't go back and double dip against that ordinance.
We cannot. No. It's a new bond ordinance if we want.
But didn't we use the bond this past year to do some of the repairs and stuff?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Were they already existing in that bond?
We reallocated some of the funding.
We did reallocate funding. But we just, because of cash flow, we haven't had to borrow off of that money. We haven't had to borrow what the total authorization that we spent on that bond. So it's accounted for. We just haven't borrowed the full amount that we've spent on it.
So there's nothing available that's left on that existing
there, bond? There's not, I mean, the list of equipment that we're looking at, even if you cut half of the equipment out, the author would know we don't have the money in that bond. We would have to do a new bond.
We would only be authorized to spend about another $300,000.
Which, by the way, still makes sense
to me. I won't argue that. No.
All right. I mean, I'm getting confused in that we have still existing money, and I just wonder why we can't reallocate again on that bond like we've done in the past.
Because we've spent on it.
That's what I'm really confused with what we're doing here. Are we either have $300,000 remaining in the budget in the bond, or we have nothing?
When we authorized the last amendment that we did to the bond ordinance. When you authorize a bond ordinance, you give a certain purpose. And for this bond, we called it a multi-purpose bond. We did paving, we did repairs to buildings here.
Right.
We bought a lot of road equipment. We are using some of the money at the boat ramp. We are using some of the money for Amanda's Field.
And the money for the boat ramp, because we haven't got the permits yet, we haven't spent that money yet. There's also $100,000 for repairs to the roof.
I'm just asking, with all the allocations that have been designated to this point, is there money remaining in that bond? That's all I'm asking.
There's about $300,000.
Okay, and now the second question is why can't we reallocate for the $300,000 still existing if we can wipe out what else is in there?
Because all that's left to reallocate is $300,000.
Well, that's $300,000.
Well, that could be, I think
That's a trash truck.
I think that we may have to get that, yeah, that might be one item on this.
But what we're, but I guess what Paul and I are saying too is, there are still items left that, the roof, the roof.
That's a different story, that's what I'm asking, is there anything that's on there that hasn't been allocated? And whatever hasn't been spent at this point, we need to see what's on there left, because we need to make priority decisions here. The roof has to be done, I get that, but if there's other pieces of equipment or something that's on there, that doesn't mean we're automatically gonna buy it with that, and also get all this stuff too. I think we need to know what's still out there that's, we're considering being purchased.
I have the list that shows what we've spent so far, what we purchased so far, what we still have to purchase.
Yeah, so in other words, yeah, Rich, right now, we're saying we got $300,000 in that in the bond, but we already had it earmarked for other projects. Which was town hall, the town hall roof, and then you said you have a list right there as far as what it's already been allocated. But we can, if all of a sudden we turn around and say, no, we don't wanna do town hall roof, we wanna do something else.
That's
right. Well, I think we wanna do town hall roof, because it needs to be done, it's over 20 years old, but if there's 200,000 left in there, I'd like to see what the other things that are on that list are.
Exactly.
The roof here is the main one. And the grant.
Now, we do have the grapple truck listed in there, some of that can be paid for out of the recycling grant fund that we have. So some of that, I mean, I think there's only about 140, 150,000 in that fund, so it wouldn't pay for the entire truck, but, you know, we could allocate some of the funds out of that, because that is considered a recycling.
So with the boat ramp, is that something that we keep in there because we've already agreed to matching funds?
Yes.
We can't reallocate it to another bond, a later bond, because the construction, we hope will be done this year, but we have to wait for permits, right?
Correct.
So my question is why wouldn't we, if we're going to do a bond, and that sounds like we might be heading in that direction, if why can't we put it on the new bond? Take that off and use the other thing for other purchases. Because it will extend it longer for the payment.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to be paying for something today that's going to be included in the amount, and because we're paying back, besides the interest, we're paying back, you know, the loan part, the principal of it.
How are you paying?
And you know, my thinking is, if we're not spending the money now, ultimately we're still going to pay, you know, we're not, you know, down the line. So why not make that 10 years out on a different bond?
We can do that.
Yes, that would help a little bit with the interest, and I see where you're coming from, and I think what we got to look at is it wouldn't necessarily lower the amount.
Provided
everything on this list is approved. Okay, yeah. So that's one thing, and the next thing I think that we really have to take a hard look at is, what are the capital requests for 2017 going to look like? What are they going to look like for 2018? Are we going to be looking at
if we have the same list,
$3 million in capital
every year? At some point, we're never going to have enough money to pay for the capital and all the bonds.
That's right. That's my concern. So that's where I was going, and that's kind of why I wanted to see this list. You know, let's project this out in 5-10 years, and see what it's going to.
I mean, our hands are tied at not, you know, we have been consistently trying to get to a zero increase. And that'll be the goal this year. It probably will be difficult because of increases in insurance. Insurance alone is probably 1% of our budget almost, you know, with the increase. But, you know, we have to figure out what we're going to be able to
If it isn't this existing committee, I mean, what I don't want to do is strap a committee 5 years down the line. It's easy for us to say, this is bonding because it makes us look good.
Right.
But 5 years down the line, somebody's got to pay for it.
Exactly.
One other thing, when we start looking out at to, you know, year 2018, 19, we'll probably have to start also looking at, you know, at that point, a partial payment for replenishment of the existing Beachville as a, you know, cost share with the Army Corps project.
So I think as we move forward, we need to get a list of what we have there and what has been at least line item that hasn't been spent, and make a determination that makes sense to prolong that a little bit. We also need to be cognizant of the fact, and I think it's a good idea to look at what equipment we have and how what are we going to be looking at in the future. Because our hand's going to be totally tied, you know, at some point, or some whoever's in the committee in 5 or 6 years or whatever it is, you know, to make these principal payments. That's the bulk. I mean, I just don't want to be doing something casually now that works for all of us.
Right.
In the present, without looking at the future, because I don't think we're being, you know, good stewards, and we're certainly not planning well for the township if that's what we're doing. I mean, we can run the bill up, let some of us worry about it. And, you know, I don't think that's fair to do.
Absolutely. I would recommend not just a 5-year window. I'd say give it 10 years, because you got to look at the trash trucks. When are you going to replace them?
Right.
You know. So we ought to.
I mean, I think the beach funding of anything is a bond in itself. I mean, whenever it is that we have our responsibility to the Army Corps, that I think can be accomplished through a bond, and that would make fiscal sense for anybody who's in this position in future years when it needs to be in place. I think that's okay. But I think where we need to be cognizant is looking at all the capital expenditures that we're talking about, including road paving. I think we have a big responsibility to make sure our infrastructures are being maintained, because it's going to cost a lot more down the line. But can we continue to keep doing $1.5 million consistently for the next 5 years? And I'm sure that's part of what is being looked at.
I just have one question. Why do we need a spare ASL trash truck? What does that do for us? What's the necessity of a spare truck?
Suggesting that you, by getting a section of truck, you're actually adding a route. That's what I mean. You're adding a route. You're adding a.
You're resting some of the trucks longer.
But if we had to prioritize,
yeah, we need a priority.
Would a side loader be? What do you need most, a rear loader or a side loader? So a rear loader, you know, for this year, and then maybe a couple years down the road, get a side loader.
That's what we're talking about, John, right?
Yeah. But exactly.
Phase these other vehicles in down the road.
The rear loader's already functional.
Exactly.
Plus we can start using with the commercial pickups.
And at the same time, we have to take into consideration, remember that $14,000 one-shot deal. That $14,000 one-shot deal could be again.
I think what we can do with that, and you know, Paul, I apologize because I haven't taken the time to go over there. I think we should take that arm. I think we should strip it down. I think we should put new bushings in it, new pins and bosses if they're required to. And then what we have is, for the price of some parts and some labors, the next one of those arm that goes, all we got to do is bolt the new one in, and then we repair the next one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So Barbara, you're going to make a list of this, right? And Paul, you are going to work with Chris to put a list together of equipment.
We already have it, but we'll fine-tune it and kind of put it in that format that you're looking for to kind of, we'll space it out in, you know, that 5 to 10 year projection windows.
That's all of your equipment?
Yep.
Not just what we're looking here.
Yeah, we have it all on one list, so we'll break it down and summarize it and make sure it's prioritized to kind of.
And could you also provide us with the 1.5 in paving, what street you're talking about?
It is. It's in your book.
Yeah, it was a list.
If you look under the engineering tab.
There's also, there's two pages. The one page that has the summary.
Is that under engineer?
Yes.
If you look at that page, there's two pages to the summary. There's the page that has the capital bond streets. That's 6.078 miles. That gives a summary of what streets I'm recommending. The second page is essentially, there's a total of 17.78 miles of streets that are in need of repair in the township. We have just over 70 miles of streets in the township. That's the next batch that needs to get done. So if you look at it in total, we need about $4.7 million if we were to do all the streets. So we're just, and that's about the same amount of streets we did the last time.
With that, Paul, what would we, if we were to kind of keep an ongoing cycle of paving, what does that look like? In other words, 2 years ago we spent about $1.5 million on paving. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now 2 years later we're looking at, or is this the third year? This is the third year, I guess.
This would be the third
year. Which would be 2 years later. Okay, so we're looking at spending $1.5 million, and then what are we looking at again in another 2 years?
Well, I mean, if we're saying we're going to do it in about 6 mile increments, I've got 17.8 miles. There's about another three bond,
million.
There's three more sections of that to do.
Looking at basically a 10-year cycle to do everything.
Really should be done sooner, but that's, I'm being realistic on, available funding and how that we've been doing that. Back in 2002, when I first put together the total inventory list, I was projecting the township needed to spend around $500,000 to $600,000 a year on paving. I think the first year we did about $500,000, but then it weaned itself down to $200,000 a year. So, for the last 10 years, 12 years, when you pare down how much we spent, now we gotta kind of
step it up,
catch up.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've seen the roads that, those roads that were built, there's a series of roads built back in the 1980s that the standard was, and this was not the township standard, but the residential standards that every town in the state did, they only put a 1-inch surface course of paving. And the mix design during that time that we got from one of the local asphalt companies was not that good. And when you get a snow like this, there's streets that I can probably name them. There's probably four or five of them off the top of my head that there's probably as much road asphalt mixed up along the side because the plows probably picked up and peeled off a lot of the road just because of the nature of the road.
Has the cost of macadam gone down since the cost of fuel's gone down? Have you seen a difference there?
It's been about stationary.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. It fluctuated up. We were up over, it's around $70 a ton. I think Upper Township has been very fortunate. We always get very competitive rates. And, ever since I've been here, when I look at other towns in the county, what we get, the packages we put together, the bidders come in and we get very competitive bids. And they're always lower than the other towns around us.
No transit time to the asphalt.
That is a good portion of it that we're so close.
Paul, we had talked to you a last time with the cobble block about fixing cracks out there. See if we had that money to do
that did not get tackled into that. When you look at my summary, Barb put in there the $1.6 million. If you look at my, and we noticed this last time we do it, when we do this money streak at one time, we'll see up to 10% savings. So, I would, even though this is kind of based on what we, historical calculations, I would estimate that number is going to come in less. So when I come up and fine tune, if we budget $101.6 million, we'll have the quantities in there to cover the repairs of the light bar. Yes.
All right. I think we're going to have to.
Yeah, we're kind of getting into the next meeting. To finish up, let's maybe see if we can get the department heads between now and the next budget workshop, which I would assume is February 8th.
6:30. Is that what you
like? 6:30 to take a look at their budgets to see if we can pull 1% out of the expense items, as opposed to take 1% of the entire budget, calculate out what portion of that your expense items are, and then take that 1% over that percentage of expense items. And then with that, let's be prepared for everyone to talk specifically about your capital item and let us know what the emergent needs are for these particular items. And hopefully by then, we'll have a schedule of our capital requests, at least for 5 years, but as Jeff said, hopefully project that out for 10 years to see what these recurring expenses and these recurring bonds are going to look like.
I'll send an email out to the department heads tomorrow.
Okay, great.
All right, so in an effort to close this, someone will have to make a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Barbara, please call the roll.
Mr. Barr?
Yes.
Mr. Bobbins?
Yes.
Mr. Pearson?
Yes.
Mr. Young?
Yes.
Mayor Palumbo?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Take it up 5 seconds.
That's good.